he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's the April 5th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we're off to a very good start here to begin a new week and at the start of a new quarter, the second quarter of 2021. The Dow's up 285 points. That's an all-time high. If you haven't noticed, 33,438. What's the catalyst? Well, it would seem the big blowout jobs report that came in on Friday. Now, I didn't even see it. You know, it was Good Friday. We had the day off. I was planting tomatoes. I missed the big jobs report, but it was a fat, big, juicy tomato, 916,000. We've also got the NASDAQ right now up 131, 13,613. Tech seems to be recovering somewhat. I'm not going to say that, you know, these charts are just explosive in the tech sector like they were earlier this year, but they're at least bouncing off some pretty horrible trend lines. The S&P 500, which hit 4,000 for the first time on Thursday, is hitting another new all-time high today at 4,058. Look at that, up 39 points. The Russell 2000 lagging a little bit. It's up 0.6%. Meanwhile, you've got oil down $1.25. OPEC's going to open the spigot just a little bit there. Gold is down $2.30 to $17.36. And the 10-year yield back up to 1.73. Now, that's troublesome. That's that strong jobs report doing that. It got down to 1.68 on Thursday, back up to 1.73% today. So welcome to a new week. Welcome to the first quarter, or the beginning of the first quarter of the 2021 year. Earnings season is upon us. We'll start getting some earnings here probably early next week. 22.6% is the number right now that the analysts, that's where the analysts have set expectations for earnings growth year over year. Of course, last year, much more impacted this quarter was by COVID than this year. You've got the S&P 500 finally cracking 4,000. That's a major milestone on Thursday. And then on Friday, while we were, celebrating or enjoying the day off, at least I was to some extent. I was working on the newsletter for most of the morning. But we did get the non-farm payrolls report on a holiday on Good Friday. And it came in at 916,000, mostly in the service area. Restaurant workers, hotel workers, et cetera, going back to work, starting to go back to work. I know there's a big shortage of workers here in that industry. I guess a lot of people, you know, picked up stakes and went into other industries. So most of your restaurants around here are short-staffed. I've heard about some heated exchanges, in some of the tourist areas of South Carolina where the waits are long and, the staffs are understaffed right now. You just can't win, can you? You've got the Dow hitting a new all-time high today. You've got the NASDAQ not at an all-time high, but down at, 13,600 as we finally... You know, I noticed it about last Tuesday, maybe it was Monday. I said, there's finally some signs of life here in these beaten-up momentum names. And then it followed through a little bit on Tuesday with the FANG stocks, followed through a little bit more on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, you had a pretty good day in the NASDAQ again. So I can't wait to dig in here today and see what I see underneath the surface of this move today. Well, that S&P 500 ended last week above a historic 4,000 level as tech rebounds to falling bond yields. However, having said that, okay, the 10-year closed at 1.68 on Thursday, and then after that jobs report, of course, the bond market was closed on Friday over the weekend. We've opened up pretty hot in the interest rate arena, with interest rates back up to 1.73% here today. I think they're going higher, okay? That just seems to be the general consensus. I talk to people in the mortgage industry and other people that tend to watch interest rates very closely, and I think the consensus is that interest rates probably headed up into the 1.9 area, maybe even to 2% by the end of the year. We had the reflation trade was in vogue on Thursday, as opposed to the inflation trade. What do I mean by that? Well, the reflation trade are the cruise ships, the airlines, the hotels, the restaurants, things like that that are getting back, hopefully, to some semblance of normality. In the meantime, the inflation trade cooled off a little bit. That's where we're talking about commodities, basic materials, industrials, etc. But they should be helped along quite a bit with this big infrastructure package that has now been proposed, and I think it will pass. I mean, there's no stopping anything that that President Biden wants, and what President Biden wants, President Biden gets. And it seems to me like that big infrastructure package, maybe it'll be pared down just a little for visual, for optics. But all in all, I think the vast majority of it is going to go through the $2.3 billion spending plan, which will, you know, give a boost to a lot of the infrastructure stocks, although they're not a real big part of the infrastructure plan, like less than 10%. Okay, March unemployment rate falls to 6%. Remember, it was at, 3.3% before COVID came along, a pandemic that set the world upside down and put all things into commotion and turmoil for the past year. And I think we took some time to reflect back on what the past year has been like for us individually. What did we learn from it? I think we learned the importance of our homes as our sanctuary and place of safety and all. We spent a heck of a lot more time in our homes this past 12 months than normal. We've got, a big outflow, which this doesn't surprise me. Corporate bond ETFs, LQD. All right. This is a little article today. Massive outflow in the month of March. March Madness. LQD is the investment grade liquid bond index. It's a massive ETF, $42 billion in it right now, but $3.6 billion left in the month of March. And don't forget selling off of these bond ETFs by investors. That's also drives interest rates higher as these liquidations, the individual bonds underneath have to be sold. And that also puts upwards pressure on interest rates. LQD saw a record $3.6 billion in outflows in March. But get this, it's seen a total of $10.5 billion in outflows year to date. Okay, that's like 20% of the assets in this ETF have gone out of it since the beginning of the year's interest rates rising, spooking investors invested in bond ETFs. Well, will there be any bipartisan support with the big infrastructure plan. Well, President Biden is prepared to push through the infrastructure plan without GOP support. And I think that's a given. It's going to go through, and when we come back, both Barron's took a look over the weekend at the infrastructure plan. They named 15 stocks set to benefit. And KeyBank also did a deep dive into the infrastructure plan, and they saw, oh, about six or seven stocks that they think will benefit. When we come back, let's just look at a few of those names and see if any of them are on my best stocks now list right now. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show on this Monday. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks Now. Dow up 346 right now, 33,500 right on the button. That's a new all-time high. NASDAQ up 159, and S&P, new all-time high. It's at 4,058 now, and the 10-year yield is up to 1.72% here this morning. Okay. Barron's over the weekend. All right, let's see what they think, who some of the winners might be. I here's what I do. I look at these names, and I look them up in my Best Stocks Now app and see if any of them match up with what the app is telling me. Well, the first one they mention is MasTec, MTZ, and that's been around for a while. It's a heavy construction type of a company. But my problem is the growth rate is basically flat, okay? So they might get a sugar high from this spending plan and have a little bounce, but I don't see that as a 3 to 5 year type of growth story, which I like to see, okay? The second one is AECOM, A-C-M. Well, guess what? That one is on my list. In fact, AECOM, you know, when you think infrastructure, AECOM almost always comes up. The symbol is ACM. Now, while the first one I mentioned is expected to grow by like 2 or 3% per year, AECOM is expected to grow by 23% per year. That's the consensus estimate out there. It's got a forward P of 20, so it's got a PEG ratio under 1, 0.89, 100% upside potential. AECOM comes in number 29 out of 5,763 on my list. So there's one. You know, I rarely agree with Barron's, but we're simpatico there. And AECOM's hitting a new all-time high today. What was that symbol again? That could be a beneficiary of Biden's big infrastructure plan, AECOM, A-C-M. Here's another one that I think comes up on my list, Quanta. Not Qantas, Quanta Power. It's another kind of a infrastructure play. They provide specialty contracting and related services to the electric power, gas, and oil pipeline industries. There's another one hitting a new all-time high. That we like to see. PWR is expected to grow by 15% over the next 5 years. That's per year. Forward PE of 18. So you got a pretty reasonable PEG ratio of 1.2. It does have that 80% or more upside potential that I like to see. It's got 85%, and it's got some good momentum underneath its belt. Performance grade, momentum grade of A. Quanta comes in at number 41 in my proprietary ranking system out of 5,763. So good job. Maybe Barron's is using my app. I don't know. The next one is Vulcan Materials, VMC. That one always comes up in the infrastructure discussions because they make aggregate. They make asphalt. We're talking roads and bridges here. There's a little bit of aggregate and concrete and asphalt, paving, stuff like that. Exciting stuff, sexy stuff. It's not chips. It's not, you know, integrated software enterprises. It's asphalt. That stinky stuff. VMC, Vulcan Materials, I want to say, is also one that comes up in my app. VMC is, no, currently ranked 1,292, but a month ago it was ranked 247. So we'll keep our eye on that one. Okay, let's see if there's any others that stand out to me here. No, not really. I see one, a solar stock. Solar Edge, S-E-D-G. That thing is flat. Boy, those solar stocks have just lost all of their momentum. So there's two there that you can put on your watch list, ACM, PWR. Now let's compare notes. We've got the Key Bank coming up with their top picks from Biden's infrastructure plan. I see two that I'm familiar with, Oshkosh. The problem with Oshkosh, it kind of got away from us when they got that post office project away from Workhorse, but Oshkosh is definitely a best stock now. And T-Rex, not the Godzilla, what was that over the weekend? Godzilla versus King Kong, I guess. T-Rex is actually on my best stocks now list. They make capital equipment. They make, you know, cranes and lifts and things like this involved in the infrastructure industry. You can put that one on your list. T-E-X is the symbol. And guess what? They're simpatico. Now, here you've got three out of three. Bill Gunderson, Barron's, and KeyBank picking ACOM, ACM. They like it. And they like Quanta Power, PWR. So there's some stocks for you to keep an eye on as this infrastructure package moves forward. All right, we had big news out of Tesla over the weekend. Wasn't that something? They came in with a huge beat as far as the cars coming off the assembly line deliveries. Tesla's Q1 deliveries, which ended, on March 31st, they had 184,000 new Teslas hit the road worldwide versus an estimate of 168,000. And there was also a report on Thursday of Apple using Tesla batteries at a solar farm in California to provide power to their building. So I got to believe Tesla stock's getting a pretty good bump here today. We looked at it last week. I thought the chart was pretty lethargic. Today it's a little peppier. It's up 5.5%. It's running into severe resistance. Tesla is the stock. It's still under its 50-day moving average. For me, Tesla's got to get above 700. To break that sideways trend that it's currently in. But at least it is bouncing. Tesla got as low as 540 about a month ago. 540. It was off almost 40% from its high of 900. That's a pretty stiff correction. And now it's back to about 700. So it's made a pretty good rebound. But still quite a ways off, almost 30% off its all-time high at 900. I would like to see it go through 700 decisively and stay there. So Tesla getting a pretty good bounce today as their deliveries top expectations. They delivered 184,000 new Teslas on the road against an estimate of 168,000. 8,000. Office REITs. Is it time to get back into the office REITs? You know, that would be one area I would continue to avoid. You know what the occupancy of offices, buildings in some cities? It's averaging about 20%, meaning offices are 80% empty at this tail end of COVID. People not exactly going back to the office, are they? Still working from home. This is Bill Gunderson, working from home, We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at these retail REITs were up 41% over the past 6 months. The office REITs only 17%. The occupancy rate 24.2% nationwide. What's the highest city? This is in the average of 10 cities for the weekend of March 24th. Dallas, 38.1% occupancy. Texas, I know the Texas Rangers are going to allow 100% occupancy in their stadium this weekend. My wife's going back to visit her daughter, and they're going to go to a Padre game in Texas to see the Padres play the mighty Rangers. And there will be 100%. Now, over the weekend, I've watched every Padre game so far, delayed. I watch it at my leisure. They're allowing 10,000 in San Diego's Petco Park, 10,000 fans. I know Yankees were about 10,000 fans, but not in Texas. No, 100% of the folks coming back. Now, the city with the least occupancy in offices, San Francisco, 13.2%. How would you like to own an office building, high rise in San Francisco? Box office returns, Godzilla versus Kong sets pandemic record. It gave a shot in the arm for theaters and Hollywood. The film from Warner Brothers over Easter weekend garnered $48.5 million in the U.S. and Canada during its first five days of release. I don't know how many they're letting into the theaters these days, but that's the first good news out of that industry in a heck of a long time. Okay, so Tesla beats their deliveries. Wedbush, who's always pretty optimistic, Dan Ives, about Tesla. He's raising his target price. In our opinion, he says the first quarter delivery numbers released on Friday was a paradigm changer. Well, not one to mince, words there. Hyperbole. Pent-up demand for Teslas, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I'm trying to find his target. Okay, their new target price. Wedbush price target on Tesla is lifted to $1,000. Well, it hit $900 recently. So if you really like Wedbush and their analysis and their research, they're giving Tesla a $1,000 target price and a long-term bull case of $1,300. They have a thesis called the Green Tidal Wave. The stock is listed by the firm as a top pick on the Green Tidal Wave thesis. Well, General Motors is also being called an EV leader. Now, remember, General Motors is going to go to 100% electric cars. Volkswagen played a little bit of a April Fool's joke, claiming they were going to change their name to Volkswagen. In the U.S., that was just an April Fool's prank. But Wells Fargo is starting coverage on General Motors with an overweight rating. So I looked at General Motors in the app. I've been pretty interested in it. But you know what? I just can't make a case from a valuation point of view. I require 80% upside potential in a stock over the next 3 to 5 years. All I can do, the best I can do with General Motors is about 60%. So it gets a value grade of D. It does have some momentum. Over the last 12 months, GM is up 200%. The stock has tripled in the last 52 weeks. But I cannot make a valuation case for it. General Motors currently comes in at number 1,000. Boy, I would be lost without the www.beststocksnowapp.com. GM comes in at 1,000 out of 5,763. Let's see. And, of course, GM is coming out with an all-electric Hummer. Would you be willing to pay $110,000? That's going to be the price. You know, how many of us bought our first home, our first condo, for less than that? I did. I remember our first condo was like $85,000 in San Diego. You get an all-electric Hummer, and you can't live in it. There's no shower or kitchen or anything. $110,000. What's the monthly payment on $110,000? All-electric Hummer. What will the range be on that thing? I don't see that. They're keeping that buried in the fine print somewhere because I'm not seeing it. GameStop, my favorite stock to talk about. It just represents everything wrong about the market in the first quarter of this year. With all of the speculation and spaculation and the Wall Street bets crowd coming in and playing games with GameStop and other stocks. Well, GameStop's going to take advantage of it. Why not? They're going to do a secondary stock offering up at this price. I'm sure they'll put the money to good use. GameStop is down on that news 5.3%. Their global sales were up 11%. Well, they're getting a lot of publicity out of all this, but, you know, is it a robust growth story these days with their bricks and mortar renting of games in a kind of a virtual and digital world? Palantir selected for government safer project worth $90 million. Now, this is one of... This is one of the momentum darlings. So I do check in on Palantir every single day, along with a lot of the other former high flyers. What I see in Palantir is, you know what? A sideways chart. Palantir went public at 7. It was a much heralded IPO. It went from 7 to 45 earlier this year in that first quarter of 2021, where we saw a lot of excess speculation in the market, in the solar stocks, in the Bitcoin stocks, in a lot of these momentum names, the electric vehicle stocks, the battery chargers, the SPACs, you name it. Palantir, kind of a poster child for that, doubled during the month of January. Well, and then it went from 45 to 20. That's a pretty stiff correction. So if you would have stuck with those momentum names through the month of January, you would have lost about 30% of the value of your portfolio. And how much have you recovered in the momentum names? Not a whole lot. If you're using Palantir and Tesla as proxies, Palantir lost 25% over 50% of its value during the month of February, which was the big sell-off in the momentum names. And now it's recovered. It's at $24 per share after hitting 45. And, you know, not that exciting of a chart, but I'm going to keep my eye on it. Another poster child of that momentum game was Invitae. That's another one of Kathy Wood's big positions in her ARC funds. And Invitae is a gene therapy stock along with CRISPR. And Invitae is planning a SoftBank is planning a $1.2 billion investment in Invitae. So here's another one. I check in on Invitae. It got up to 62. And now it's at 41. So that's about average. The momentum name saw about a 35% sell-off from their high in late January, early February. In about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, they lost about 33% of their value. Well, I did a lot of selling in early February. I I cashed in a lot of profits in the momentum names. I got very worried about the valuations. I was watching the charts for them to crack. They started to crack, and it was time to go and cash in on a lot of those stocks that were really flying at some high, high valuation ratios. And Vitae, is that a good chart? Well, it's hitting its 50-day moving average. At least it's going sideways, all right? It's not going down anymore. Another one, Roblox. This one's interesting to me. This is kind of GameStop on steroids for me, because this is a – they're taking advantage of the online. You don't have to go to a store to rent a Roblox game. This is all online streaming. Roblox getting a big upgrade today to $78 per share. RBLX up 4.7% today. When we come back, we'll do our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunnarsson. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of Best Stocks Now on this Monday. We're seeing a very good jolt in the market today after Friday's blowout jobs report, 916,000 jobs added. Now we've got the 10-year unchanged from Friday, 1.72% is where we're at on the 10-year. Okay, well, we talked about Barron's article over the weekend. They named some of their top infrastructure stocks. We talked about KeyBank. They named some of theirs. We were simpatico with several that were also highly rated in my Best Stocks Now app. I'm going to make my featured stock of the day kind of an infrastructure stock, and also a play on reflation, inflation, you name it, and kind of a turnaround play. Vail, V-A-L-E. It's also a fat dividend kind of a play. I'm showing the current dividend yield at 6.7%. That's what the Investors Daily is showing. You know, you get different dividend yields. You have to check several sources. But this is what Investors Business Daily MarketSmith is listing the dividend forward 12-month dividend yield of 6.7%. Now, this company is headquartered in Brazil. Had a lot of negative publicity when the dam broke and some people killed downstream and a real tragedy. But they're coming back and from that tragedy. This is no small company. This is a $93 billion market cap company. $93 billion. Okay, so now let's check out those three valuation, momentum, stock chart. All right, let's see how it stacks up. From a valuation point of view, it's trading at 6x forward earnings. That's really low, single digits. That's not easy to find out there in the market right now. And the growth rate over the next 5 years, well, it depends on the source you're looking at, but the one I've chosen, this seems to be pretty much in the middle. 25% per year, the growth expected for Vail earnings. Now, Vail's in the mining exploration business, a lot of copper coming from Vail mines from Brazil. But they also have other things that they do mine. It easily meets my valuation criteria of 100% or 80% or more upside potential. I'm showing a 4.5% dividend yield. That comes from Icon Refinitiv. Investors Business Daily showing 6.7. I got to believe that the 4.5, that's still a fat dividend, okay? Now, Vail has cooled off a little bit here recently, but when I bought it, it was had some really good momentum, very strong momentum. And it currently has a momentum grade of D+. But having said that, on the Investor's Business Daily scale of 1 to 99, it's a 75. It's cooled off a little bit. It went on a tear. This stock went on a tear last fall. And its momentum when I bought it was up in the A plus area. It's cooled off a little bit, but starting to heat up again. It's having a huge day today. So let's look at the chart of Vail. It's breaking out today. A huge gap up. I don't know what the news is, but it's up 6.1% on 2x normal volume. 13 million shares have traded hands on VALE, VALE, which is a play on basic materials. I think we are in an inflationary environment. And I think the spending, the infrastructure plan is going to put some pressure on basic material, asphalt, rock, aggregate, concrete, rebar, you name it, steel, copper, aluminum. We've seen aluminum prices soar recently. We've seen Alcoa become one of the hottest stocks in the market, which it has not been for quite some time. And now Vail, I like huge breakout today. Wow, up 6.2%. So we'll make Vail, and I do own Vail. I own Vail in two portfolios. It qualifies for my large cap premier growth portfolio because it's a large cap stock and the future growth is expected to be 25% per year over the next 5 years. We'll see. So that does qualify absolutely for the premier large cap growth, and I own it in my dividend and growth portfolio, which demands growth from the company and a dividend yield. Not a growing dividend yield. You know, some people just focus on the dividend yield. I focus on growth and earnings, paramount, and then the dividend yield. And Vail, obviously, with a 4.7% dividend yield and growth expected at 25% per year over the next 5 years, that makes for a really nice featured stock of the day. All right. Well, you know what? We continue to have money flow into Gunderson Capital. We had a huge first quarter of this year. We had a record 12-month stretch of time there where our assets under management grew by an astonishing rate, helped along by two things. Obviously, growth in those portfolios from our stock picks and our portfolio makeup and new money flowing in to Gunderson. So we're very proud of the results we've achieved, and we're very happy with those that have chosen to use us for asset management. Well, if you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like to see where we're at right now in this market, which is a completely different market from 2020, you can get our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. My guys are busy talking to folks, my advisors. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Set up a virtual appointment or a phone appointment. You know, you can talk to the CFA, the CFP, CMG, OMG, Gunderson Capital, GCM, you name it, at 855-611-BEST. Toll-free nationwide number. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.